ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. I feel a sense that something has started bothering me. And so I feel a sense to just come this morning and remind you of the basic truths of the gospel. So we read quite a couple of scriptures together. One of the things that have started bothering me is the fact that sometimes our profession doesn't match our reality. So we come to church, not just here, I'm talking about the body of Christ. And we've sang about Him this morning. We sang about our authority. We sang about our power, the power that has been bestowed on us. We've lifted up our hands in worship, in praise and adoration to our King. And 30 minutes after this service, not just here, maybe in other places, the temptation to just slip back into the status quo, it's high. So it started to bother me. Our relationship with God, how do we synchronize that into our everyday living? We are believers. I take, for instance, the situation in our country. I mean, you can still hear drums all around us. So if you drive from here to Ikeja to drive through Ibadan at this hour simultaneously, you probably hear where people are lifting up their voices to our King, our Maker. Yet, there is corruption in our society. Yet, there is hypocrisy in our society. Yet, we can't see, because the gospel is light, we can't see that relation in the workplace. We can't see that relation in our homes. We can't see that relation in the conduct of our businesses. So, I know it's the Holy Spirit who quickens people's hearts. So, I'm a bit bothered. You know, in the scripture, they said, if God be God, let us serve Him. And then, if it is bad, let people make their choices. So, as we celebrate Easter in the Christian calendar, today is Palm Sunday. Which simply, the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Today, we don't celebrate that. We celebrate His entrance into our hearts. He has become our Savior. Then, after we have received Him, that encounter, He becomes our Lord. And then He becomes our King. And then, in everyday walk, He's our friend. So, our lives is not in compartment. That is, alive on Sunday is different from alive on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We can't treat Christianity as if we are using Sunday paladrin. Do they still make that medicine? No, they don't make it. Is it polydrin or paladrin? Yeah, for some of us who have been around for some time, you know the battle every Sunday. with your parents that you have to, is a very tiny drug, whitish in substance, but God help you that it didn't touch your tongue while you are trying to swallow it. So Galatians chapter 3. So that's the premise of my message today. I'm bothered. I'm just bothered. I'm bothered. I'm bothered. So he says in verse 1, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Samuel Ajayi Crowther translation says, "Alai nironu ara Galatia." He said, "Who has bewitched you?" I don't know what, maybe I'll go and look for my Igbo translation so that I can. "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." So, even all through this week in the Christian calendar, we also venerate, we call it the Passion Week, the events that led to the crucifixion on the cross. And for you as a believer, we've moved from the gospel, but you can study any of the gospels. It's recorded in the four gospels because it's something that borders on our faith. I mean, Easter opens up. It's like the cornerstone, corner pieces of our faith. If you don't understand the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, and then the meaning of it in your heart, then Christianity that you are practicing is a religion. So verse 13 and verse 14, and then we read verse 29. So why was he calling them foolish? He said, "Christ has redeemed us." If you can just understand those four words, the practice of your faith is easy. You will not be tossed by any wind of doctrine. It's not that Christ is going to redeem us. He has. I love the old King James. He said, "He hath." So that you can know that it's a complete sacrifice. He said, "He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us." He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. "For it is written," for those of us who are lawyers, we understand when something is written. It means you can make reference to it. It means you can build a premise on it. If you are arguing any case, if a similar thing has occurred, you can quote it. You can put it in context. And sometimes those things have been long, maybe those cases have been long decided. So they quote the date, they quote the hour, they probably quote the judge who gave that judgment. So it is written. And whatever is written, except it's nullified completely, it cannot be unwritten. He said, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree." So there was an exchange. So there means in the place of curse, something must replace the curse. Verse 14 explaining that the blessing, not the curse again, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus today. And that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. True faith. True faith. We were not there when it was written. We were not there when Jesus went to the cross. But every step on the way to that cross, every step on the way to the tomb, every step on the way to the resurrection and the ascension, God the Father God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were involved. Everything that makes God, God, His power, His dominion, His authority, they were involved in that work of redemption. So when God looks at us today, He's not seeing a curse. When God looks at us today, He's not seeing a judgment. When God looks at us today, He's not seeing failure. Christ has redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So what is the curse of the law? I mean, you can, if you want to know the curse of something, then you go back to the law of first mention. So the curse of the law is summarized in Deuteronomy 28. If you read from verse 15 to 68, all things were highlighted there. But we can summarize it. The curse of the law means one, spiritual death, which give birth to sin. We can summarize it, secondly, sickness. We can summarize it, thirdly, poverty. So Christ has redeemed us from spiritual death. I mean, if you go back to the very beginning, Adam sinned, he lost fellowship. Jesus came, the second Adam, to restore that fellowship. So man can have access into the presence of God. So Christ has redeemed us. And he says, today, you and I, he said, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and then you are an heir according to the promise. So one of the basic truths we can embrace as believers in Christ is that we have been redeemed. We have been redeemed. So if you have any struggle in area of spiritual death, sickness and poverty, all you just have to do is to understand what you have been redeemed from. So we need to walk. I mean, in terms of our personal relationship, we need to strengthen it so that we can know the things that have been freely given to us, so that we can begin to appropriate it, so that Christianity will not be treated as an addendum to every other things that we do in life, so that we can know that we are no more under the curse, we are no more under the law, we are under the law of grace, which makes the blessings of God to be appropriated in our lives. So one of the basic truths you and I can embrace as believers in Christ is that we have been redeemed. Some people come into this personal relationship and run their Christian experience as if there is still something that you have to do. In fact, some, because that blood, we will read it shortly, the blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So Jesus shed his blood for us to give us life, not death. To give us blessing, not curses. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it is the blood of Jesus that can make atonement for the soul of man. That's why he says there is no other way. Every other way is religion. You say you, why will you say that? I didn't say it, the word says it. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Those three things are what every human being on planet Earth is looking for. People want to know the way. People want to know the truth. People want to experience life. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through him. John 14 says, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, because it has been the question in all the ages. Paul had to say, not Paul, Peter had to say, he said, there is no other name that is given under the heavens where man can be saved. You can call me a religious bigot, but that's the word of God. That's the word of God. There is no way. We can't pass off for people. Life in Christ is what guarantees personal relationship with God. Religion is man's attempt to reach this God. So in religion, some people wash water. They worship water. Some people worship cutlass. They call it the God of iron. Some people worship themselves. But Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You may have family members who are not saved yet. That's the reason why you need to pray for them. That's the reason why you need to allow this life to flow through you. John 10:10, he said, the thief comes, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I have come that they may have life. Amplified said, they have life to the point of overflowing. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. If you read Isaiah 53, he said, it pleased God to bruise Jesus for humanity. And when he saw the sacrifice, he said, the desires of his soul was met. We sang about it this morning. All authority, all dominion, all power as it is. There is no demon. The devil himself cannot contest it. Principalities and power, they can't contest it. That's why it is written, and it cannot be written. If they have known, they would not have allowed Jesus to go to the cross. So don't be swayed from this truth. It's not by philosophy. It's not by psychology. It's the truth. This truth is not relative. It is the truth. This truth is not bended to suiting into certain situation. It is the truth. I know people who are LGBT who want to be free. But there is a voice of humanity saying, if you don't accept them, you are homophobia. The person inside wants to be free. The voice of the society said, just allow them to be. He overcame. It's not that he's going to overcome. Ephesians 1:3. Let's just read a couple of scriptures together. It pleased God to bruise Jesus. It put him to grief. Ephesians 1:3. If you can find me New Living Translation, but if you don't, let's stay with your New King James. He said, blessed be God, the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us the same way he has redeemed us. He has blessed us with every so I'm oppressed today. I'm not possessed. So peradventure you are being oppressed. He has blessed you. The resources, the arsenal that you won't need to be free is in his word. You know, sometimes we have, I'm not saying fast, I mean, we do fast, I do fast. So, but sometimes we can't replace fasting with this. Because if we do, then God must be one erratic being. That you have to do something. And then if he's in good mood, then he responds to you. No. It is written. So my fasting in 2021 may be needful for my own growth and edification. But it's not going to unwritten that which has been written. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every. What that simply suggests is that if you are confronted with anything on planet Earth as we speak, God is not just going to manufacture the arsenal that you will use. Why has he blessed us in heavenly realm? So we are seated. Ephesians 2:6 confirmed that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above, not beneath, far above principalities and power and might and dominions. So he has blessed us. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13 and 14. Said he has. It's the same word. He has. The deliverance that you and I need today is the deliverance of being exposed to the truth. Because if you are not exposed to the reality of that truth, it's at least Satan will take advantage of us. My own people, God Almighty says, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's a very simple thing. If I'm owing you ₦1,000,000 and then he comes in and pay you that money and I'm not aware of it, if you see me on the road, you can still lock my shirt. You can still pull me by my tie. You are owing me ₦1,000,000. But the moment, I know I can sue you for rough handling me and claim damages. Because when we get to the law court, there is nothing for you. You can't say that I'm owing you. And I have the right to life. So, we must. Christianity is not an addendum. Christianity is not among Buddhism or those other ones that we name in our world. Christianity stands on its own. It's built on an eternal truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not die, will not suffer spiritual death, but will have everlasting life. It's a quality life that is abundant in quality and in quantity. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness. We are in Africa. People are afraid of witches and wizards. We are in Africa. People believe in the power of God. So when we come into Christianity, if care is not taken, we will be tempted. We are tempted to compare such God with Sangoma. Sangoma is that popular like the voodoo in South Africa. And I saw a drama on the TV this week. So people believe in this thing. And so they are trying to curse someone. So they put all the pictures on the table. And they were making declaration. Everything in life is voice activated. That's why you must be used to your own constitution. He said, when the enemy comes in, so the enemy is going to come. But he said, like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. He who the Son sets free. We are no longer slave to fear. We are no longer slave to sin. We are no longer slave to sickness. Let me talk about sickness. Sickness is disease. There is no blessing in sickness. Sickness is a curse. But what God gives is blessing. Health is a blessing. It is better to be healthy than to be sick. Sickness is broken his. You depend on other people to do stuff. To be healthy is better than being sick. It's the same thing. God doesn't glorify himself in poverty. So to live in abundance is better than living in lack. See, don't help God to manage anymore. Because he's not complaining. The vast resources is there. Some of us, we get to heaven and we see when they open your unclaimed. So you find out that it's not nobody used it because they are tagged in your name. What do you do in prayer? You make a demand. You are not whining. You make a demand. Within the context of God's purposes and the things you have to do, you make a demand. You make a demand. So, he has delivered us. He must be a just God. If every Sunday you come here, I'm doing deliverance for you, when will you be free? He must be an unjust God. To put sickness on people so that his name can be glorified, so that they can know that he's Voltron or superpower. No. No. Jesus said, if men who have the tendency to do evil know how to give good gifts to their kids, How much more? So it can't be compared to us. How much more? I've never seen the good father here who says, come here, boy. Today I want to give you my grain headache. Take it. For disobedience yesterday, you have my grain. Today, no. Men who are evil will rather do everything possible for that child to be healthy. As a matter of fact, some kids, the day they wake up and they are not scattering everywhere, the parents will be concerned. God is love. God is faithful. God is just. Even if you have lost anything, God is a restorer. If you are weak, it's a renewal of our strength. You know, that word, I am that I am, it simply means whatever you want me to be at any time, that's who I am to you. And it's not I was. I was as I was. No. So it's present continuous. And then what he was or he is to you at this second, if you want him in another dimension the next second, he shows up that way. That's why he's called El Shaddai. He is the all-sufficient one. Paradventure. I'm walking now, and I need something right here. And I'm confused. I don't even know. By the time I walk here, that thing, if it's not in existence before, because it's benefit and you have money, they are already there. Time, space, situation, circumstances. That's why Paul wrote it. All things. They work together for good, for those who love God, and for those who are called according to his purpose. 16 minutes more. So Colossians 2. I promise we are going to read scriptures today. Colossians 2, 14 to 16. Colossians 2. So, all through this week, Passion Week, study Ephesians 1, 3, Galatians 3, 13 to 14, Colossians 1, 13 to 14, Colossians 2, 14 to 16, and some other scripture. Because why? It says meditate upon these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Make progress with them. And he said, the evidence of your profiting. Christianity is not in your heart. It must affect your life. It must affect your behavior. It must affect the way you see life. Everything doesn't begin and end here. So it must affect you that you don't have forever to do the things that you need to do. You can't chase the winds. You can't chase vanities. The truth is that you can't have everything. So you must learn how to redeem the time. How to buy up. That's one translation. Buy up opportunities. You can't follow the Joneses. We are not NFAs. You can't follow the system of big boys, big girls in town. Our citizenship is in heaven. You can't just live life and say you are living in faith, F-A-T. What's that word in Latin? Serera, serera, whatever serera. Whatever, Serera. Hey, you can't live life whatever we be, we be. We live on purpose. See, everything doesn't belong and begin and end here. 2 Corinthians 5:1. It says, if this heartless tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens. So why should I be afraid of that? Why should I mean, you ask many of those religious leaders, where are you going after that? Some of them have said they don't even know. They don't know. But look at something. He said, we are convinced. We are not thinking about it. We are not. We are convinced that even if this body will leave him, are folded up at death like tents. It means when you have parties, they fold the tent, it means the event is over. So it means we are not here forever. One day the party will end here. He said, will we still have? Thank God. You know, there is a difference between tent and home. In case you haven't, it's right here before you. It's not tent that you have. Because we have a better covenant. With better promises. With better things. We have a God-built home that no human hands have built. So I know where I'm going. And you must. That's one of the things that our faith offers us. You are convinced. Paul says, whether in life or in death, we live for this God. We must. He said, no human hands are built which will last forever in the heavenly realm. Let's speak verse 2 and 3. We inwardly sigh as we live in this physical tent. He didn't say home. Can you see? Longing to put on a new body for our life in heaven. He said, in the belief that once we put on our new clothing, we won't find ourselves naked. Jesus gave that advice. He said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain this whole world? No matter what you build, I'm an advocate, build houses, but regard it in your mind that they are tents. Build homes here, but they are tents. In other words, don't esteem any of these things. Don't esteem them above the eternity that God has planted in your heart. Okay? Doing well. So salvation is redemption from spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. It is a complete work of redemption by the precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, we read 18 to 23. 1 Peter 1. He said, for you know that your lives were ransomed or redeemed once and for all. From the empty and futile way of life, handed down from generation to generation. So the sacrifice of Jesus was not a ransom payment. At least Nigerians now, even if you don't know the meaning of ransom, the things that have been happening in our country, you must have read that word, you must have heard over it. So his was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes. But the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless and unblemished lamb, was sacrificed for us. No matter how cow are nurtured, goats are nurtured, all the things that we go and buy, you will still find spots. But this one, he said it was God's plan. For he was chosen and then destined for this. There's no the ones who started religions of the world. None of them were chosen and destined for death. And as a matter of fact, if you want to know, you can know where their burial sites are. You can exhume their bones and put it to DNA test. All the religious leaders of the world. But this one that was chosen, you can't find his bone. The only thing you can find is the empty tomb. So before the foundation of the heart, when John saw him, in John 1:29, he said, behold the Lamb who took away the sins of the whole world. So in KJV, he said, we have been redeemed by the precious blood, incorruptible blood of the Lamb. Revelation 1:5, as I close this morning, Revelation 1:5, he said, and from Jesus Christ, that's after he rose from the dead, resurrection. The revelation to John, he said, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Paul writing later on, after, he said, he is the firstborn from the dead. Paul writing in, I think Hebrews 1, he says, he has delivered them all through their lifetime, their bondage to death. He has delivered them from the fear of death. That's his CV. He said, firstborn from the dead. The ruler over the kings of the heart. I don't know if you have seen some of our Hadley King, Olu of Worry on your FIFA. Eleko of Eko. If you see all those guys, natural men, when they appear at events, everything stands still. Even the pageantry which they appear. Like Alafia for you, if he's coming, you will hear the sound. They do shekere. And they have songs. And then sometimes when they appear, it's their symbol of authority that you foresee, that you will know that they are around. How much more? Say, all those about
is the ruler over them. And that's not the end. He said, to him who loved us and then watched us. I want you to please note something, because a lot of the time we think that is our sacrifice now, that you are now born again. That no, he loved you first. And then he washed you. I don't know if you have seen it in your Bible before. Olankai, that's what we are reading now. So some people, their own Christian experience, they are doing. Hey, just be. Hey, we're so used to human doing. But let's do human being with God. Let's become what he has made us to be. He said, he has loved us and then washed us from our sins. Where? We can preach on that, but let's just cover it for today. Because sometimes, some people's salvation is in their denomination. Some people's salvation is in what they have chosen to believe. But he said he has washed us from our sins. Every religion, the first thing that they do when they are praying is to ask for forgiveness of sins. And some of it have been imported into Christianity. We call it the commission and omission. No, he washed you. But you need to understand it, because you can't keep on sinning. You can't. You can't make a practice of sin if you really understand that. You can't. You can't stretch grace and say, God, understand. Because he expects you to grow. And he expects other people to see that life and then come into the saving knowledge of that life. You are the testament. That's what Paul wrote. He said, you are our epistle, known and read of all men. The truth is that I want to throw this challenge to us this week. The way you are living your Christianity now, can it attract anyone to Jesus? It's a food for thought. It's a food for thought. We can't be selfish and say, oh, my faith is in my heart. It's my life. It's not your life. Someone pay ransom. And you have to live that life to please him. Because you have only one life. And you have to learn to live it on purpose. So whatever you have, you are stewards. Stewards don't hold things. They hold it in thought for another. So your time, your talent, your treasure, your relationship, you are steward of it. Let's read the last scripture and we close for today. Revelation 5:9. Said, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open his seal, for you were slain. There's no other religious leader that was slain. When you say someone was slain, it means it was designed, it was deliberate, it was intentional. So when you have a birthday and you want to celebrate and you buy a cow, so it is deliberate. It is intentional because you want to entertain guests. So Jesus was slain. You know, some of these words, you see comma in front of it, which means horse, seller on it. And through that being slain, he has redeemed us to God by his blood. Thank God it's not Nigerian's blood alone. Except from every tribe. So you should understand it. When we are praying for the heart, You know, sometimes when we are doing those prayers, some people can't just see it. When we are praying for soul, some people can't just see it. It is the desire of God because the sacrifice has been made. Hey, a lot of people, when they get to hell, by the way, hell just means eternal separation from God. Why heaven means eternal presence with God. And heaven has already begun the day you gave your heart to Jesus. Can you see the difference? So you can't even use hell to threaten anyone. But it will be anyone who goes to heaven and hell, it's their choice. The lamb has been sacrificed. A lot of people will find themselves eternally separated from God, and that's the pain of regret. Jesus gave us, it's not just a parable, it's a real life situation. The Bible called him the rich, is it the rich fool or that rich man who died? The pain in his heart, he said, oh, he was still proud while he was in that place safe. Well, he was saying, because he was still looking at Lazarus the way he was. He said, can you please send Lazarus to go and warn my brothers? So it's people, nation, whether Fulani or Hausa or Ibiobio or Swalis or Zulus, the blood has been shed for them. Even those who hit fellow human beings in some culture, the blood has still been shed for them. They still hit people in some part of Nigeria. I won't tell you the state that I served, but where I served in some part of that state, we were warned not to go to that part, a certain part in certain time of the year as coppers, because it's an open secret. Romans 5:5 said, hope does not disappoint. So that's the kind of that we have. Because why? The love of God. Can we read the scriptures together? Romans 5:5, 1, 2, 3, go. So today should be the end of that prayer point. Lord, give me love. Understand it? Is there potentially, or your decision and cooperation with the Holy Spirit is what will enable you to walk in the fullness of it? And when has it been deposited? Verse 8. Let's read together. And you see, no. 2 Corinthians 17:5, 5:17 to 21 in TPT. We'll read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Stop there. What does an entirely new person mean? Eh? Total what? Eh? So is not refurbished. Eh? It means you cannot connect the old dots from the new dot or pattern that is painted on the canvas of salvation. Do you know that a lot of people live in guilt even in their with their new life in Christ Jesus? Can we read entirely a brand new species, a new class of men, a species that has never been in existence? Can we read all that is related? So I'm holding a white handkerchief. So if it vanishes from my hand, do I still have a white handkerchief? Can you trace the form and shape of that white handkerchief? You saw me raise it up and suddenly it vanishes.
and I asked you to make a description, will you give me accurate description? Even if I spread it and say, write it down, your description will probably still be a little bit out of place. Let's read verse 18. Let's read all through to 21 now. Not to religion. That is the life. Read on. Can you see? That's why we are the salt and the light of the world. Gospel. Lastly, Galatians 5, 1 to 3. Galatians 5, 1 to 3. I, your Daniel, also tell you. So let's be established in this truth. We take it further. I have a concern. I have a bother. And that's just the background message this morning. If God be God, let us serve Him. There's no need. If you are a Christian, be a Christian. If you are a believer, be a believer. It means you believe the word of God, you believe God, you believe Jesus, you believe the Holy Spirit, and they are not in conflict. You believe the promises of the word of God, which are yes and amen for us in Christ Jesus. And then you yield yourself to see these promises fulfilled in your life. That's what I know to be Christianity. What we find out generally, and we say it to you with all truth, is that when we say Christianity, it's like, people like to put the whole Christianity on the table, spread table, and then like a buffet, they just speak what is convenient for them, what fits their mold, their culture. I had an experience here at once. I preached a message here on marriage, and two people were in argument after the service. Somebody said, why will pastor say that? Why will pastor say that? The other person said, pastor, you didn't say that. And the other person said, no. He said this. He said, this is my note. This is what I had. Maybe we can go and get the CD. The truth is that they had the same thing. But they sieve it. True culture, true religion. No, we embrace, this is the word of God, the totality of it. That's why certain practices, you can't find it here. It's not in the core of this place. And anything that will take you out of it, you won't find me here. Maybe you will become the senior pastor that day. That's the truth. I've tasted the two worlds. This is better. This is better. This is better. To be healthy is better. To live in joy and peace. It's better to live in than to live in worry and anxiety. This is the gospel of Christ to you today. And I expect your response to be, thanks be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudratabiola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,